Grant, we're here and we're doing it after like 4 months of waiting, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm glad to be here, man. Glad to finally get on your podcast.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a while, and I'm glad that we waited because now we've kind of got a little bit of a different setup where I'm getting to go and visit the business owners and business leaders like in their place of business for the most part.
Cool.
And so we get to showcase a little bit about what you're doing here.
Dude, that's awesome.
So let's start. What's your name and what are you doing right now? Tell everybody.
I'm Grant Grinnell. I am the founder and the main farmer at Fresh Alternatives, LLC. We make plant medicine, specifically gourmet medicinal mushrooms, and we use plant medicines to enhance a super health lifestyle.
And we're here in a residential house where the farm is behind the walls here.
Behind us right here is actually my fruiting chambers.
And nice.
This side of the house is kind of, get together area. Maybe we plan our events like farmers markets in here. Kind of, this is like a meeting room almost. And then the other side of this house is dedicated to mushroom farming. So we're in the suburbs.
Yeah, no, it's funny. First time I came over here, we were joking. And I'm sure you hear it a lot, but you got a little bit of a Breaking Bad situation going on.
Oh yeah, totally.
Except it's all legal and all legit.
Yeah. It's all legal, it's all legit, and the Breaking Bad part is the respirators and all the science stuff, but over here, you know, we're breaking good.
There you go.
We're breaking good, so, you know, we take a lot of pride in the product, the safety, quality, and potency of it, and the science behind it. I actually take the Breaking Bad as a compliment because when I hear that, you know, it makes me feel more like a scientist, you know?
So. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more specifically about the types of products that you produce and what they do for you.
So one of our main products is Lion's Mane mushroom capsules, mm-hmm. and we grow all the mushrooms here ourselves. You mm-hmm. know, there is no third party farm, and there's no importation of overseas, or, you know, we have complete control over what goes into the product and how it comes out. So our main one is Lion's Mane mushroom. It's very good for mental acuity, mm-hmm. especially in older ages, but people like me and you can also use it to help increase our focus in our daily life, and it's also proven to lower depression a little bit as well, and anxiety. Then we have reishi, which mm-hmm. we're getting into. We have a bunch of it growing in the colonization chamber back there.
Okay.
And that's really good for balancing mood, and it's really good for the immune health. We have Cordyceps militaris, that's known as the Himalayan Viagra.
Okay.
It gets you jacked. It actually increases the ATP in our blood, adenosine triphosphates, which call forth, that's a product of cellular respiration and whatnot, and it calls forth the hormone processes for cellular respiration. So if we have more of that in our blood, we can breathe more, we intake more oxygen per breath, and it has a bunch of good effects for circulatory health and stuff like that. And the last being pink oyster, which is really good for heart health and strengthening the pulmonary arteries in our heart and stuff.
Nice.
Yes, they all serve a practical function in herbal medicine and preventative health.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I've been taking the Lion's Mane and the Cordyceps for probably like a month or a month and a half now.
Yes.
And you know, it's hard to say that I notice an immediate incremental difference, but I guess the way I look is I just look back and, you know, where was I a month ago with my family, with my business, with everything, and then I look to where I am today and it's like, you know, yeah, I've been getting better every day, you know, like in all facets, and there's a lot that plays into it, but, you know, I'm sure that has a part in it for sure.
It is, it's about, you know, it's kind of about, you know, there's not like major effects per se from the mushrooms, but throughout time adding them to our diets, like you said, will make a difference.
Right. So it's not like, oh, you know, like I need to solve a I feel like crap, I'm gonna take some, you know, some Lion's Mane today and I'll be like good tomorrow. Does it work like that?
No.
Okay.
But over time it's been proven being added to the diet, you know, it can help. And that's one of the things about medicine that, you know, I've picked up on studying herbs and stuff, is that a lot of it has to do with adding it to our cycles and our diets and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And especially with preventative medicines, you know, if I had a really serious emergency with health, I would probably still go to a hospital. I'd still take medicine, you know, but to prevent these types of things and clean my body out before that, you know, mushrooms.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. How did you get into doing what you're doing? What was the story of getting here?
So it was actually a couple different things. I became extremely interested in herbology, just fooling around as a teenager, you know what I mean? And I got into growing mushrooms from just experimenting with different herbs, and I eventually got into healing herbs, and not just healing the mind, but also healing the physical body. Mm-hmm. And that I actually had a health transformation when I was around 21 years old. I went from being kind of obese into focusing on my health and taking herbal things and cleaning my lungs out from smoking or vaping as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found cordyceps. And that was the tip of the iceberg. I was concerned about my lungs at one point because I was overweight and I was coughing and I had to turn my life around. A lot of people don't know that about me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I did. And the cordyceps was a big one. And actually what happened was about a couple months after that, I watched this thing called Fantastic Fungi by Paul Stamets, and it's an amazing documentary. It has slow motion shots of lion's mane growing. And from that second, my brother and I, we were watching it on that very TV, mm-hmm. and my brother said, we watched, it was like a brain. We've never saw this type of mushroom before. And he says, I need to eat that. I'm going to buy that. And I said, let's grow it.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I've been growing mushrooms ever since, like continuously. I've been here, you know, to the farm.
And that's
another thing. A lot of people assume it's kind of like a quick thing, but it's just as much farming as any other farm. You know, like I have to carry buckets of water out to drain this system every day. I have to make sure there's no water buildup, any of that type of stuff. So I do have little responsibilities, you know what I mean, along the way.
Yeah. So tell us about the evolution of like starting with growing one mushroom, like to now you've got pretty legitimate setup here where you could produce stuff on a pretty mass scale.
Yes, it was a long journey. Mm-hmm. My equipment has upgraded throughout the whole experience. I started with instead of respirators, I started with just covering my mask and doing stuff in front of a heated oven so that there was no, like, with a spore.
Yes.
So when we make these things back here, liquid cultures, I have to inject spores into a growth medium, and I would previously do that in front of a stove that emitted heat to sterilize the air as much as I could. Mm-hmm. But we've upgraded to HEPA air filter systems in a four foot by two, which creates a large space to work in front of. And that was a major upgrade. And then the tents as well. I went from working in little tubs doing my own personal grows to a 10 by 10 fruiting tent. And also, how I sectionalized off the business inside my own house has developed as well throughout renovating and just upgrading the certain processes, you know, like the hydration system and the outtake of the hydration system. At first I had that going off into the same room. I now have it pumping straight outside and filtered. You get what I'm saying? So just little upgrades along the way, man. Like any other business, you know, and I've learned a lot about entrepreneurialism from every mistake I've made in this startup, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's kind of the main part of the podcast, is talking to entrepreneurs, business owners, business leaders, and just like, you know, learning about their experience from starting a business and growing the business and all the stuff that you learned. So I definitely want to dig into that. But before we get going, tell us a little bit more about like the process. You mentioned like spores and cultures, and give us the high level and like a timeline on what it takes from like start to finish to getting some of the, you know, some of the mushrooms and capsules and stuff that you have there.
Can I grab one of those?
Definitely. What do you got?
So I got, this is a liquid culture, and this is kind of the first step. I have this on top so no dust will fall on the lid. Mm-hmm. But this is the first step. What I do is I source a spore syringe from online. Mm-hmm. And I get one of them, which is a 10 milliliter syringe typically. Mm-hmm. And I inject it into 600 milliliters of homemade growth medium. And that's yeast and soy peptone and mixed in with a certain ratio into water. Mm-hmm. It's about a gram of each, you know. Mm-hmm. And we multiply our spore syringes by growing in this growth medium, and this can turn one 10 milliliter into 600 milliliters, so 60 10 milliliter syringes.
Oh, got it. So you'll take one syringe and you're just basically like being able to create a bunch more from it.
Yes, and multiply it.
Nice.
So that's one of the biggest parts of this business is there's steps in colonization where you can multiply your product and your growth if you follow the rules, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
This is the first step, and these take about 2 weeks to develop. Mm-hmm. Some mushroom strains like pink oysters that we grow or blue oysters, they don't like to be refrigerated, but you can refrigerate lion's mane and other spores if they can survive those climates typically.
Got it.
But for instance, I don't refrigerate my pink oysters, but this one has been refrigerated, it's lion's mane, and these stay good for about, you know, almost up to 3 or 4 months.
No way.
So I'm just awesome. Gonna put it down right here.
Yeah.
And then after that, I take the spores out of there that mm-hmm. we've grown ourselves, and we inject it into rye berry or white millet. And I'm leaning towards white millet now because the prices of rye berry have gone through the roof.
What is rye berry or white millet?
So we take the seed of the rye berry or the white millet. It's a it's similar to wheat. It's what rye bread's made out of, you know?
Okay.
And it's the seed of the plant that they use to process the bread, you know, into. And
got it.
We take it before it's GMO'd up or sprayed with pesticides. We use non-GMO, all organic rye berry or white millet, and that's the first growth medium in the whole process, and it's not the only one. So we let that colonize for probably a month.
Okay.
And different mushrooms have different colonization times as well.
Got it.
And then we break that up into the separate fruiting blocks. So for a 2 pound mixture of colonized rye,
mm-hmm.
I could probably make 10 fruiting blocks off. All it takes is half a handful of the spawn, which is the colonized rye, to go into the fruiting block, which is a enhanced white oak substrate.
Okay.
We take soy pellets and we take gypsum rock. Gypsum and soy, so protein and calcium pretty much. And we add that to the white oak, and that makes them flush like crazy.
Okay.
This whole process can take up to like 3 months.
So when you say flush, what does that mean?
The flush is the mushroom growing off the block. So a lot of people don't know this, but the mushroom itself is the mycelium.
Okay.
The mushroom is almost like an escape pod. It's trying to spread its seed before the mycelium dies.
Got it.
Through mushrooms, which is very interesting. So the mushroom's actually like almost like a being that's under the dirt or in the trees, you know?
Well, that's like what fantastic fungi, that documentary. I mean, it's been a while since I've watched it, but I just remember being amazed that the mushrooms are basically like a living organism, right?
Yeah.
It's like a living organism, and they communicate and they're transferring, like it's all connected somehow, right?
Yes, they scientists are starting to believe that there's a much larger network of mycelium underneath the surface of Earth, you know, right up in the crust, right where we're walking on our, in between pine trees on our way on our hike.
Yeah.
There's mushrooms all around us, maybe even sensing the vibrations of our walking.
Unbelievable.
It's
crazy.
It is. That's part of the thing that got me really interested in this, man. It's kind of like the mystery of the mushroom. Like, what is this stuff? Is it bigger than what we know?
And it seems crazy, and we're going off topic of your process, we'll get back there, but I mean, it's 2024 and we have all this technology and like, you know, been studying things forever, but it's kind of, you know, kind of cool and interesting to think that there's still so much stuff that we don't know about, you know, anatomy or, you know, for example, like mushrooms and how it all interacts with everything.
I agree, man. It's definitely a field that needs to be studied more.
Yeah.
And, you know, from some really, you know, like there are mycologists like Paul Stamets who are well renowned, and mm-hmm. he's actually gotten a lot of flack over the years trying to push these ideas into the scientific community, and people are just now starting to open up to it. But have you ever heard of the show The Last of Us?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's this movie about mushrooms evolving to take over the human race. It's purely science fiction.
Right.
But I've had kids run up to me at farmers markets, and the mycologists are the good guys in that movie because they're fighting fungus.
Got it.
And they're like, you're a mycologist. And I'm like, yeah. You know, like, and just this, I think there's going to be a newer generation, and scientists in the future who are really going to delve into this, man, like, you know, and just understand.
Yeah. So who are, you dropped one name, but who are, like, who would you say are kind of like the leading people in this field in terms of, like, you know, doing what you're doing, like creating proactive, preemptive, you know, health supplements? Like,
so I can tell you some of the companies that I saw coming up, and and some of the names of people that I think that are what you described. And so there's Paul Stamets, the fantastic fungi, and they have a company, they have Host Defense that works for them. And, you know, the one difference between our product is there and theirs is they use myceliated oats.
Okay.
They extract the like in lion's mane, their arenicines and the active alkaloids out of the mycelium instead of fruiting the mushroom. And we use straight fruit bodies in our products, nothing but fruit bodies. So that's a major distinction in our product between theirs. But there's Paul Stamets with Host Defense, and those were the supplements I started using at first.
Yep.
And then another guy that I know, he's out of Tennessee. I don't know him personally, but I've watched him on the internet, is this guy called Mossy Creek Mushrooms.
Okay.
And I don't know him, but I'm going to shout him out anyways, because I watched his videos when I was setting up my fruiting tents and stuff, and just how he dealt with this, keeping his stuff sterile, and interesting facts about mushrooms, like about how they let off CO2, so you got to pump intake of oxygen in. And, all that type of technicalities I kind of picked up from watching some of his videos. And another guy is this guy from North Spore. They're a spore company, and they sell a lot of the stuff that you could use to grow mushrooms at your home.
Got it.
So there's like, so in this business, there's different people. So there's people like me who sell the finished product and Host Defense. There's also people that will sell the tools and the things necessary in order to inoculate your own mycelium and start flushing your own flushes of mushrooms. And a good one is, I think it's Midwest Mushrooms and North Spore. Those are good companies. Another people that have a really good spore bank is this place called Spore Works. That's where I got my reishi from. And they have all types of mushrooms. If you're into mycology, check out Spore Works if you're looking for spores. And another guy who's doing really amazing things with Cordyceps militaris in particular is this guy. His name is, I believe it's John, and he works for Terrestrial Fungi. He is the terrestrialfungi.com, and that's where I get my cordyceps spores from. And he's like the leading guy of finding cordyceps from around Earth and bringing it in and creating spores. And he has to redo it because cordyceps, you have to have fresh spores.
Got it.
Yeah, so there's a mycology community out there. It's just not as interconnected as the mushrooms themselves yet.
I was just about to say, it's not like on the same network.
But it's happening.
That's awesome, man.
It's happening.
And so it sounds like you just taken a little bit of knowledge from a bunch of different places and put it together to kind of create what you're doing right now, right?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, there's no just like one book that you go and it's like step one, do this, step two, do that.
No. You know, and in fact, most of my education comes off YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, Mossy Creek Mushrooms, Midwest Mushrooms, North Spore, they all post videos and they explain this stuff. Another guy who has great tutorials on building pressure cookers is Myers Mushrooms.
Okay.
And he, I don't know a lot of these guys' names off the top of my head, but I've studied from their videos. And Myers Mushrooms, like, that's where he built my HEPA filter, and he sent it to me. I purchased my HEPA filter from this guy, so.
That's so cool.
Yes. Very cool.
That's so cool. Well, I'm actually amazed at myself for being able to remember this, and maybe it's because I've been taking my cordyceps or my lion's mane. But where we went off topic was with the mushrooms when they flush, like as part of the process. We were talking about the process, and then you're saying like we got to the step where they flush, and then I took us off tangent from there. So like going back to the process, you know, we've like kind of incubated it almost, or you know, we've got the spores, we've put it into the, help me out here, kind of recap what we were doing.
So we take the spores out of here, we put it in the spawn,
yep.
That it colonizes. That takes probably 2 to 3 weeks,
okay,
depending on strain of mushroom, and then or variety, it's not a strain, but then we take that, we break it into fruiting blocks, it recolonizes the fruiting block. Okay. That's another multiplication step similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fruiting block colonizes, I put it into fruiting. And to put it into fruiting, actually, you have to set certain conditions, and they're specific for each mushroom. So for instance, I can grow lion's mane and pink oysters together because they activate. As soon as I open the fruiting block bag and I expose it to the outside environment and the humidity in the fruiting tent, the mushroom senses that, the mycelium, and it starts propagating the mushroom itself. It starts growing to release spores. And different mushrooms, for instance, like blue oysters, cannot grow in the same tent because they want a colder temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to curate each growing environment to the specific mushroom I'm growing.
Got it.
And when I get it just right, they flush.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Another example of that would be reishi doesn't use any hydration to spawn. All I have to do is cut the bag open and it starts growing antlers. They're like little brown antlers. They look like deer antlers.
No way.
Yes, and they're really cool. And it's one of my favorite mushrooms, actually, medicinally and just for growing.
Yeah.
And it takes no water. I don't even put it in a fruiting tent.
That's wild.
It is, yeah. And cordyceps is its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I would say it's definitely a little bit beyond an intermediate level grow. You have to follow this recipe. You have to add proteins, a men's daily vitamin, you have to add kelp,
mm-hmm.
and all these different nutrients, because cordyceps in nature actually grows on parasitized dead insects.
Okay.
And it takes over their brain, and you know, they bring it back, like ants for an example, into the hive. So, and then when they pass on, the mushroom will grow out of their head, and it will, the other ants will pick up on the spores, and then boom, the whole hive is dead.
Oh my gosh.
So it hunts. And when I figured that out, it kind of freaked me out at
first.
That
is wild. And that's why you're wearing a mask when you're dealing with spores?
Well, that's to protect my lungs and stuff. Because when we grow a lot of mushrooms in here, I try to pick them before they spore to keep my growing place clean. But
got it.
There's some science that might say that spores will stay in our lungs. So that's where that comes from. And also, okay. So I don't breathe on the product and stuff like
right.
that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. But cordyceps does hunt insects, so that one is harder to grow than the ones that just grow on wood. So you got to research each mushroom, and you got to recreate its natural environment, and that's the job. You know, we pretty much bag up replicated dead trees,
mm-hmm.
inject the spawn, let it take over, then boom, put it in the right environment, watch it grow.
That's wild.
Yes.
So from, like, generally speaking, from, you know, start to finish, how long, let's say for cordyceps, because it's probably different for each type, but for cordyceps from start to finish, how long does it take to get a finished product?
Cordyceps is actually takes a little bit longer than all my other mushrooms, and it can take up to 4 months.
Okay.
Yes, it's a very particular mushroom, and it's a little bit harder to get to engage because you have to get the recipe just right.
Got it.
And there's a little, so with cordyceps, you have to grow them in plastic bins. It's called a plastic tub tech.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, something I've had happen to me when I first started was the humidity in the tub would rain back down on the mycelium. So I had to figure out, you know, what's the problem with that? And so we started wiping the tubs out in a sterilized environment. But the optimal idea is to keep it closed until it flushes.
Got it.
Yes.
And then how long would lion, so 4 months for cordyceps, what, how much is like lion's mane?
Lion's mane from start to finish, from, and I say this from like injecting the spawn.
Right.
I would say 2 months.
2 months.
2 months max, yeah.
Man, so in all those steps, like, you know, if you work so hard, you're like 3 months down the road, you're about to, you know, you're getting closer to a big, you know, harvest. You really don't want to mess something up at that stage, right?
No, and that's a part of it, man. So when the temperature changes around here, my AC system kind of sometimes, because it's an older house, it'll kind of go into fritz.
Yeah.
And I have to be here because it will actually disengage my humidifier. And if that turns off for even one day, the mushrooms will dry up and stall their growth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you have to be like over here with all those technicalities. But that's part of all the mistakes that I've made to learn this business led to me being able to maintain it a little bit easier, you know?
Yeah.
Made plenty of mistakes though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just your story is very similar to a lot of business owners that I talk to. It's like you start with a passion for something And like with you, you had like a personal reason as well, not only the passion, but you know, you were, you know, you wanted to go on a journey of, you know, becoming healthier and cleansing.
Yes.
And then you start something because you you know, you have a passion for it, and then you learn as you go, right? You know,
yeah.
And the best way to learn is by making mistakes.
Yep, that's the truth of entrepreneurialism right there.
Yeah.
You know, we learn from our mistakes, and you know, we just try not to do it again, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, and also it's, you know, it's just step by step, like building blocks. You know, it's, you know, it's, you look at a company and you're like, how did they get to where they are today? And what you don't realize is the 10 years or 20 years of work that they were doing, you know, step by step, gradually, to get into a point, you know.
Yeah.
That's also what you've been doing, is just step by step, huh?
At the beginning of that long ladder, man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of my mentors told me when I started this business that it might take 7 years or so for you to really get your brand out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm passionate about mushrooms. So for me, like, I'm willing to do that, you know, and walk right. that path and make the mistakes and learn and keep up with my relationships and stuff in this regard. You get what I'm saying? So
definitely.
The passion definitely helps with that big time.
Absolutely. And, you know, the passion is what keeps you going when you hit a roadblock or you make a mistake or you get a setback. That's what just keeps you going, you know, for the next round.
Yes. And, you know, a personal roadblock I've hit is I had a mistake on my labels, and I was going around for a while, and I had to rebuy $3,000 worth of labels at some point. Yeah, and so as a startup, you know, that's kind of a cost, really.
That's a big cost.
It is, yeah. So, but I, you know, I did it, and you know, if I didn't wasn't passionate about it, I may have been like, you know, this isn't worth it to me, you know. But
yeah,
I try to keep my energy high
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the business and just in general, and persevere no matter what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When stuff gets hard, instead of just folding up and procrastinating, that's when you get out there and you know, and my dad, he helped me a lot with that. My dad's an entrepreneur as well, and you've
yeah.
met him.
Yeah.
And he's been kind of a great mentor for me in this as well.
Yeah, you got a good person to draw on for experience with him.
And he keeps that repetition going. Yeah. Like, he's in the background like, hey, Grant, have you done this today? You know?
That's awesome.
And,
well, everybody needs an accountability partner or a mentor or a coach or, you know, someone. I mean, I don't know many. I mean, even if you think about Steve Jobs or, you know, some of, you know, the, you know, most influential entrepreneurs, like, they always had someone that was pushing them or, you know, and so, you know, I think that's, you know, it's a good point to make that you got, you know, you got someone that's helping coach a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting. I think that is definitely a dynamic to business, is getting together with someone, you know what I mean, and
mm-hmm.
putting your ideas together. And you know, my dad's been there, my mom helps me with the farmers markets and stuff like that. So
what is your, you mentioned farmers market, what is your main like distribution channels?
So online, we have a website, freshalternatives.com.
Cool.
And that name came up out of nowhere, and I found the .com for it. I was so happy.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to
no
be
one else owned
yet.
That one yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Or .iq.co or something.
Right, yeah.
But so online, and then farmers markets. But one thing I've learned actually is doing the in physical personal sales actually has driven my online a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. So I work with a marketing team called Wilmington Design Company,
mm-hmm.
and they're excellent. I suggest them to anyone trying to market their product.
Cool.
I love them. They're really good people. But they've been helping me read my online analytics and understand where it's coming from. And recently I figured out that the market I did at Wrightsville Beach has really driven like maybe just like 40 people a month to my website or so.
Hey,
but
that's a lot, man.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh yeah. For sure. And like, I'm just trying to capture that audience, you know. I don't want it to slip through the cracks when they come and check us out. So, you know, we're trying to educate, we're trying to you know, just educate people as much as possible about mushrooms, get rid of mycophobia.
Yeah.
Mycophobia is it's a virus of the mind where
okay.
people see mushrooms and they say, that's probably going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not true. You know, these things have been used for centuries in other countries for medicinal purposes or teas to prevent health issues and stuff. So, you know,
yeah.
that's something in the United States that I've run into. People have been like, it's not going to hurt me in it, is it? Or, you know, some people have, but anyone can grow mushrooms at home. Mm-hmm. Anyone. It's not difficult. It's a natural process. You can just pretty much hijack and take and use yourself, you know, the growth process. And that's part of it, is the education.
Man, that's such a good point. You know, because I was going to ask, you know, how much, when you look at your sales and marketing strategy, you know, how much of your selling is actually more so educating, right? Like, to create that need, to create that demand, you know, people have to understand what the benefits are and stuff like that. Tell me a little bit more about that.
I mean, that's smart observation. That's 100% how I sell, mm-hmm. through education at this point.
Got it.
I rarely have a customer come to me that doesn't need a little bit of education on my product. Mm-hmm. A lot of people send emails on the website, says contact us, and they'll ask me about it, what mushrooms would help them and stuff. So that's one of the things in barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. To increase sales in this field, you're going to have to educate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the number one way to sell mushrooms, in my opinion, right now, is to educate as many people. And that's Fantastic Fungi.
Exactly.
That documentary, like, mm-hmm. it changed my life. It educated me about lion's mane. It mm-hmm. educated me about mycelium and just the impact on the world and the forest of Earth and, you know, how interconnected all these things are. And just that education alone changed my mind, you know?
I wonder if there's, like, an association or an organization that's out there already, or that, you know, you could somehow start to, you know, gather all these people that are in the industry and you put, you know, minds together and resources together. And it's like, hey, you know, if we all want to be successful, we've got to educate people on the benefits. And,
you know, there are small groups like that. I don't know if there's a national thing yet. Mm-hmm. If there is, I'm not aware of it yet, mm-hmm. but I'd love to figure out about it.
Yeah.
It's something that really needs to happen, especially between farmers and manufacturers and people who market it and that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And bring the science in too, like Paul, John Hopkins, they're doing stuff with psilocybin research. They need to also look into lion's mane as well, you know, just right. because it's not as psychoactive doesn't mean like it can't work hand in hand, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's something Paul Stamets created, was this, this microdose regimen using psilocybin, lion's mane, and niacin. And okay. He created it to, the niacin pushes the lion's mane, the psilocybin throughout your body mm-hmm. with a niacin flush. And then it promotes neurogenesis and improves mood and cognition, probably better than any antidepressive or anti-anxiety medication on the market.
Man, and that is just such an issue in our society, in our world today. I mean, especially after COVID, and it's just like there's so much mental health and issues. And like, you know, it's just like, if I wonder if you were to take a poll of just like 100 people, like how many people are on antidepressants or, you know, other like their drugs, you know, and how many of those people could get the same benefit or even better without having something that's addictive or like detrimental that creates other side effects in your body, where we could just use something that's completely organic, completely natural. And, you know, I feel like you're onto something here, man.
I mean, yeah, man, I couldn't agree more, you know, like, you know, say no.
Yeah.
To drugs, say yes to natural herbs that can help you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like less side effects, you know what I mean? And yeah. Just improves health, so.
Yeah. Have you heard of Marcus Sheridan and his book and philosophy called They Ask, You Answer?
I have not.
So it's a whole marketing strategy philosophy, and it's all about educating the customer. And I'm paraphrasing, and I might misplace some of the details of it all, but ultimately what he came on was, or you know, discovered and started, was basically organic search engine optimization, like organic SEO. And what he would do is he would write blogs, he would write videos that, and put videos out there that would answer questions that people had about making a purchase. And in the book, he talks about a pool business. And so it's like when he goes and meets a customer and is trying to sell them a pool, what are the top 20 questions that that customer is going to ask him?
Interesting.
And what he did was he would write a blog with that question. And, you know, as people start, and, you know, people are Googling this question, like, you know, how deep should my pool be? Or, I don't know, like, what is the best color of, you know, to paint the bottom of my pool? And he would write these blogs, people would Google it, and then all of a sudden it redirects them back to his website. And because he's educated them and answered questions for them on the front end, you're building, you know, you're already building trust with that client. And he just talks about, you know, just the amazing outcomes of doing something like that and how they grew this business into something crazy.
Interesting.
And so I'm thinking,
I'm gonna need to read that.
That could be, you gotta check that out. And it's just, it's something that I've actually started doing with my business. If you see some of the videos I've done, I just say, like, what is a cash flow statement? What is a balance sheet? What is a P&L? What is a liability? And I just like make little short video clips and post them. And probably like five people watch them, but you know, at some point down the road, you know, maybe it starts to get to the top of the Google, you know, search, and then it directs people back to my website, and they're like, oh, maybe I should call this group, and maybe they can help.
Yeah, no, that's right on. Like, so I actually my marketing company, Wilmington Design, they are helping me create my first blog, and we're gonna get that launched pretty soon here.
Nice.
And we're gonna start just doing, as you said, educating people, keeping them updated, and linking it back to the website, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Using the SEO keyword search and just putting those words into the bodies of text that we're using, and you know, trying to get to the top of Google, like you said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's something I'm really looking into right now.
Yeah, you should next time you talk with them, ask them what they know about They Ask You Answer.
They Ask
and Mark and Marcus Sheridan. I'd be surprised if they didn't know.
No.
But you know, I think that would be something that could be pretty beneficial.
I mean, totally, man. Like, so I'm at the point in my business now where I'm really just getting to marketing and learning about all this stuff, and
yeah.
It's actually one of the funnest parts of business. And it's just because, like, for me personally, to test my product and see how people respond to it,
yeah.
Even if it's not the way I want the impression to go, if they make an impression on the website and I can see where they stopped or how far they went into my information,
yep.
I can analyze that. And to me, that's super fun. And I'm kind of working on getting some deals going on my website so that I can so I can help people get all of my mushrooms and all the healing benefits for a little bit less than the standard monthly subscription price.
I was just about to say, are you like, do you have like a monthly subscription model or something like that?
Right now, that's what we're doing. And
that's awesome.
Yes, we have a couple monthly subscribers, especially for the Lion's Mane.
Yeah.
Something that a lot of people want to keep in their health cabinet. And yeah.
I mean, talk about a good business model. I mean, you know, you think about subscription-based companies, you know, those are some of the most valuable companies out there because you have a good product, you do the work one time of getting that customer, and then they become a lifelong customer, or you know, a long time customer, and your cost to acquire that customer just gets smaller and smaller and smaller over time. And then next thing you know, it's just, you know, it's
yeah.
It's like my you know, my Chewy order for my pets, you know. It's like,
oh, yeah,
I get on this subscription, and the next thing I know, I'm like, damn, another box showed up. Like, I forgot to cancel that, you know.
No, I'm subscribed to Vitamin Shop. I get Celsius, all that.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you. And it's really a better way of doing supplements as well.
Because
people don't want to have to click Lion's Mane or all three supplements they take, you know, every month. So
right.
It is a great business model. Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm really proud of it, man. I had a lot of people push me in that direction, you know.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So what's your, like, day-to-day look like? You know, being a farmer, you know, being the business guy, being the sales rep, being the marketing agent, being the logistics guy, you know, like, how do you juggle it all?
Man, I start early in the morning, wake up around 7.
Yeah.
That might not be early for some people, but I wake up at 7, and the first thing I do is I check the humidifier.
Okay.
I make sure the water system is feeding the mushrooms, and I just do all the basic, the rundown, which is the humidifier, make sure it's full. I check the mushrooms out themselves, see if we got any ready to pick, you know, take a mental note of that. And then clean. I have to wipe down the I use plastic shelving in my fruiting chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use stainless steel racks, and there's so much humidity in there that like this rust formed, and I couldn't get it off. And you had to clean each bar with the freaking paper towel.
That sounds so tedious.
It was, and like I would sit there for hours doing it, like on a cleaning day. And then so I just got some plastic tables. I stacked them on each other, and I have probably six in there, which creates six spaces. And I'll put lion's mane here. I'll put pink oyster closer to the hydration unit where the intake is. And I kind of just mentally make sure that's cleaned out every day. And then email the marketing team, you know, just stay in touch with everyone who's helping me out, you know?
Yeah, awesome, man.
Just try to do that every day.
What do you, like, you know, 5-10 years down the road, what do you want Fresh Alternatives to look like? What would be the, like, you know, the ideal future state of the business?
I want it to be similar to like an online grocery store, but for herbs and mushroom supplements.
Okay.
I want it to be kind of like a, and somewhere that selectively works with real farmers and real organic people with the same visualizations and ideas and about medicine that we have here, which is organic plant medicine with practical use. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I want to eventually be a place where people can, small farmers like me at some point, can get their products up on there, and we get the real products, that not the mainstream big guys who kind of have machines doing it. You know, I want I want it to be kind of a, I want it to be like an online grocery store for herbs and vitamins.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then using that as like a platform where other small, you know, small scale farmers could be potentially be able to use it as a platform to sell and distribute there.
Yes.
I dig it. You're going to be the Amazon of organics, huh?
Yeah. So I guess that was end up being my number one competitor, right?
Yeah.
But hey, if
no, but seriously.
If I get this going and stuff, you never know. They might be like, hey, you know, we'd like you to jump in on Amazon if I get it big enough, you know?
I mean, why not, man? You gotta aim big. And I mean, what's to say you can't do it? I don't see any reason why you can't.
No, me neither. Just gotta, you know, like you said earlier, you know, just gotta learn from the mistakes and just keep going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell us a little bit more about you know, your team. I know you're doing most of the work, and but you've had some employees here and there, and you know, some family members. But you know, do you think at what point do you think like maybe you'd hire some people, or what type of person would you hire?
Good question. So when we start making a little bit more income, I'll probably will look for help. And I'm just looking for people who are passionate about either mushrooms, health in general, or someone who's kind of like me when I started out, like kind of into gardening, don't really know, you know, what's going on with it, but they want to learn more. You know, just interested people. That's who I see working for Fresh Alternatives someday, people who actually have a passion about this too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. Well, it's funny, as I'm saying this, you know, the name of this podcast is called Fractional, and, you know, myself have a fractional CFO firm, and like what you've done already is you've got your marketing department, that's a fractional, you know, role, right? It's an agency that's a fractional, you know, you've got some family members that, you know, provide some advisory and some help here and there, that's a fractional role. Maybe you find a couple, you know, sales reps, independent sales reps. That's a fractional role. I mean, it's, you know, it's really cool how you can scale something, and you don't have to hire a full-time W-2 employee, so to speak. You know,
man, my dad, he said, man, subcontracting is the way to go.
Yeah.
And you help other businesses that way too.
Absolutely, man.
And that's part of the thing about entrepreneurialism. I've learned so much is like the networking and just helping other people and just being willing to like give your contacts to someone else if they need them, you know, that kind of thing. Like that's how I met you, you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly how we met.
So, and you know, it's been great. So,
yeah.
You know, this, like entrepreneurialism is kind of like, you know, people act like it's just capitalism or something, but it's actually very like, interpersonal, and also you learn a lot from it about life, you know?
Heck yeah.
It's like an art form. You know, I see a lot of these, like a lot of older entrepreneurs like yourself, my father, and like John Riggs and people like that.
Yeah,
I think you mentioned him earlier, I'm not sure. But, you know, I see these guys and like, you know, they all just, they're just so kind, and they, how they interact with people and stuff, that's how I want to be someday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, Riggs is definitely a special individual. He, like, you know, he's all about helping people, and he's the reason that I met you, basically, was through him. And that is what's so cool about entrepreneurship, is that it really is, you know, the backbone of community. And I think that small business development and entrepreneurship can solve a lot of the social economic issues that we have in the country. I mean, you know, there's just so much junk and BS and, you know, out there, and I feel like small businesses are the ones that can kind of stick it to the man a little bit and say, you know what, I'm not down with that. Seriously, I'm going to go and do it my own way, and I'm going to do it the way that I think's good. And guess what? I'm going to hire people. I'm going to bring money into our community. I'm going to help other people have a livelihood. And, you know, I'm just going to try to make the world a better place.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
It's all good. There's only positives if you think about it. And I've been saying this for years. Why don't they teach finance or entrepreneurialism in middle school? Uh-huh. Why can't we pay our taxes? Like, when I get out of high school, I should be able to know how to pay my taxes. What's the best way to do it at a certain point?
You know?
Who to talk to.
Or at least know what questions to ask, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know?
They don't even give you that, you know? It's kind of backwards.
You know, like in first and second, or I can't remember specifically the curriculum, but like, you know, I learned geometry, I learned, you know, yeah, like for example, I can't think, but like geometry, it's like, you know, I don't think I've used geometry in any part of my, you know, in any part of my professional career. Maybe I have, but what about, yeah, like you said, like what about a personal finance class, or like just what is a bank account? What is a credit card? Like, did you know that you actually have to pay your credit card balance, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't pay, you pay interest. I wonder how many people out there truly don't understand how a credit card works, and they learn the hard way.
They learn the hard way, man. And it's just amazing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very fortunate to have people in my life who can explain these kind of entrepreneurialism and business and that type of stuff and personal finance and whatnot, but I'm still learning on the daily, especially about financing my own business and like deadlines and like that's a serious side of business, but it's not really well educated in school. And if you don't do it correctly, you pay harsh fines, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So like, if you're gonna be someone in this society, like it would only make sense to teach these types of things, you know?
Yeah.
And also we need to get mycology classes too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, the next generation knows exactly how to get these things flush and big, you know? You know?
Yeah, man.
That type of stuff.
Well, maybe you can, maybe you grow this business and get it cranking, and, you know, and who knows where you can take it, you know?
And you never know. My company may end up being an educational company someday. That's the thing. Like, you start a business and you have an original plan, and then you find out how the market works and you make tweaks, like, you know what I'm saying?
I love it, man. You couldn't have said it better. And that is what's so cool about small business and entrepreneurship is, you know, you start and then, you know, you don't necessarily know where it's going to end up, but you keep adapting and identifying other opportunities. And, you know, from point A to point B, you know, you never know. There's this Steve Jobs quote that I love, and I used it in a commencement speech that I did for our graduate program at UNCW, but it's something along the lines of, you know, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards.
Mm.
And you've got to trust, you know, basically work hard, put your head down, and just trust that, you know, the dots will connect in the future. And that's kind of, I didn't do the best job of paraphrasing it, but that's basically what you were saying is, you know, you start here and you don't necessarily know where it's going to end up, but you just got to believe and trust and work hard. And
oh, yeah.
If you got a good product, a good service, and I believe if you genuinely are a good person and try to do right by everybody, you know, it's a pretty good recipe for success.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and to add on to that, you know, the relationships you make along the way,
yeah,
you know, that's for life, man. You know, it's like you meet someone and you don't know who they are, and then 2 weeks later you meet them again and they're the people that can help you.
Yep.
You know, so that's a big part of it I've learned.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, let's do a little closing entry here. And where can people find you? How can I purchase your products, and how can I get in touch with you?
All three of those can be answered in one place, freshalternatives.com.
Cool.
We're also on Instagrams at fresh.alternatives.
Okay.
And then also Facebook as well. And I think that is freshalternatives.life.
Awesome.
But yeah, contact us on our website, and we have a education site on there as well. So if you have any questions about the mushrooms in general, you can just, you know, go to the website and read.
Awesome, man.
Attach some sources as well. So,
well, thanks for letting me come over and pretend I'm a mycologist for a little bit wearing the lab coat.
It's not a pretend when you're in Fresh Alternatives.
I'm an honorary mycologist.
You're an honorary one here.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks again, and thanks for sharing a bunch of knowledge with everybody.
Yeah, no, of course, and thank you for having me, Chris. My first podcast ever, I'd like to say.
Yeah, awesome.
And it's an honor to do it with you. You're a great guy, and you know, you've made this a great experience for me, so thank you.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks. Thank you.